before we do anything, can we just ask the Lord to help us and by the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you this evening that we have been reminded from your word that in Christ alone our hope is found. And we approach you this evening and we come to you in the name of Jesus, your Son. And we not only address you as an awesome God and a creator God, but through Jesus we address you as Father. What an immense privilege is ours to come and to speak to you. Lord, we don't need to ask for your presence, for you've promised that you will be with us, no matter where we are. You said you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you that you've promised that when we meet together in the name of Jesus that you're here. So it's not that we need to pray for you to come, but what we do need to pray is that you would give us an awareness of your presence, that we would experience your presence, that you would guard our hearts and our minds in your presence just now, that we might seek you and find you. And we thank you that you're God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we pray that we might know the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives as we open up your word, as we think of some things together. And so, Lord, tonight we just pray that you'll be with us and bless us. And may all that we do this evening point us to Christ, our great Saviour, our wonderful Redeemer, our soon coming King, and the one in whom we have hope for life and for death and for eternity. So continue with us, we ask, for Christ's sake. Amen. Good book company. I've already been told that that's who I am with. Let's hope this all works. If you have a Bible, I'm just going to read one verse. If somebody wants to read 2 Timothy 4:13, and you'll discover that the Apostle Paul is in prison, and he is writing to Timothy. And he asked Timothy to bring his books. Bring the books, especially the parchments, is what he is saying. Books were important to the Apostle Paul. Up to the stage, perhaps he'd been preaching for something like 30 years, and yet he still needed his books. Bring the books, especially the parchments. And indeed, elsewhere, Paul said to Timothy, give yourself to reading. C.H. Spurgeon is that great prince of preachers, and many of us, our libraries would be lost if we didn't have Spurgeon books on them, but certainly as preachers. But Spurgeon said, you may get much instruction from books, which afterwards you may use as a true weapon in your Lord and Master's service. Bring the books. But if you notice in those words of the Apostle Paul, he says, especially the parchments. In all likelihood, the parchments were the Holy Scripture. And so while this evening, the topic that Ross gave to me to come tonight, lest you think this is an advert for Good Book Company, Ross said to me, can you tell us about Good Book Company, but can you tell us how we should read a Christian book? So that's what I'm going to do as we work our way through this. But let me say at the very beginning, what Paul is saying, especially the parchment, on all likelihood, the parchments were the Scriptures. And in all of our reading, no matter how good the book is, no matter how good the publisher, no matter how good the author is, let us make sure that we don't neglect the reading of God's word. We can read all kinds of news. And you can read your Facebook feed, you can read magazines, you can read good Christian books, but let's never neglect the reading of God's word, especially the parchments. Let me again quote from Spurgeon. Search him in literature if you will, but especially stand fast by that book which is infallible, the revelation of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring the books, especially the parchments. And how important it is to read. And how important it is to read good Christian books. Can I ask you, and I'm quite happy for you to answer this, what are you reading just now? Is anybody prepared to volunteer what they're reading? Are you reading anything? Are you reading a Christian book just now? What are you reading? What is on your bedside table? What is it that you're reading? Does anybody want to volunteer? Everybody's going nice and quiet. Yeah? Or let me ask another one. Let's ask another one. When was the last time you read a Christian book? and one that would be helpful to you to grow in grace and in knowledge of Jesus. What are you reading just now? Answer that question yourself. And when was the last time you read a Christian book? And I hear it all the time from people who tell me that they're not readers. And you know, that is just not true. If I were to say to you tonight, are you a reader? How many people say they're not readers? You say, yeah, we're not readers. Yeah, we don't read. Well, let me tell you, that is not true. And I want to prove it this evening that you are a reader. Because we're reading all the time. We read posters and adverts and newspapers. And when we broaden it out, it's amazing the amount of information that we absorb each day. Without realizing it, each one of us probably reads something in the region of 700 advertising messages each day. We read them. We're not aware that we're reading, but we are readers. And we're reading at least 700 advertising messages each day. And let me prove to you that you are a reader and you're not conscious that you're reading. Let's have a little bit of fun, if we can use that word. I'm going to put a few logos on here and see if you can identify them. All right? And you should be able to do that. Yeah? Doesn't say it anywhere, does it? How do you know that's Apple? Because you have read it. You have absorbed it, haven't you? You've taken it in, right? Yeah? There. This one's already been mentioned tonight. Nobody knows that one. What is it? You're allowed to talk. You're allowed to talk to me. I know my distance. You're allowed to talk. Right? Right? Again, does it say anywhere? How do you know? Because you're reading it. You absorb it. It is coming into your mind all the time. This is one that you'll all know. Yeah? Let's see the boys. Wolves, yeah. Wolverhampton. Yeah. Dallas. Where's? Pardon? Norwich City. You see? Doesn't even say it there. Right? Yeah, you're starting to get warmed up. No, that's a good book company logo. I'm disappointed you didn't know that one. But you see what I'm saying? All of those logos, you knew what they were, and the reason that you knew what they are is because you've been seeing them with your mind, with your eyes, and you have read them. You have absorbed them. And when you start to think about it, our minds are being shaped by our culture. You know those things because they're shaping your mind and your culture. And not only the advertising, but the movies that you watch, the conversations, Netflix, the television programs that you watch. And some people reckon that not only do we read, we absorb about 700 pieces of information, but every day, perhaps there's 5,000 pieces of information that we absorb. And the vast majority of the information that we absorb in the world is designed to influence our minds, to buy this, to go here, to possess this, to wear this, to think this way, and not to think that way is going to be out of step with the world. And so advertising and all that the world has out there is to shape our minds and to control us and to shape our thinking and everything else. But the call of the gospel is that our mind should be shaped by something else. And so we discover in Romans 12, 1 and 2, these wonderful words of the Apostle Paul, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we need to renew our minds. And I know that as believers that we love the Lord with all our heart and our soul, but we have to love Him with all of our mind. And so the culture around us is trying to shape our minds, trying to influence our minds, trying to control how we think, how we react. And so we need to renew our minds. And hopefully I've proved by showing those, some of those logos, that you're absorbing that information without being conscious of it. And the world is doing that. And therefore we need to be on our guard. And so we need to be aware that we need to think that much more than the time that we spend in worship on a Sunday morning and evening will can equip us to live for Christ. And the hurricane of the messages of the world is coming to tell us. So we need to be reading. And we need to be reading daily. And we need to be reading our Bibles. And that's the most important thing that you need to be doing, is to read your Bible. And we do know our range. I'm not going to talk about Good Book Product tonight. I want to talk about reading. But we do Bible reading notes. But the aim of the Good Book Company, let me tell you a little bit about the background. Good Book Company was formed just over 25 years ago. Formed by a man called Tim Thornborough. Tim formed the company in his own front room in London. He had this passion and vision for a publishing house that would produce Bible-based resources. And in order to get the company going, he juggled three jobs. And it has grown from that to now that we have a headquarters in Epsom in southwest London, with about 30 people working full-time in the company. People who are dedicated to writing and to editing material. And the aim of the Good Book Company is to resource local churches and Christian believers with Bible-centered tools so we can keep going, keep growing, and keep sharing our faith. And one of the things about Good Book Company is that we will produce books that are biblical. So that's where we start. We start with the Bible. They have to be biblical, and they've got to be relevant, and they have got to be accessible. And so we're very committed to God's Word. And so anything that you buy from the Good Book Company with their logo on it, the logo that you didn't recognize, and hope you will in the future, anything that you buy with that logo on it, you can know for sure that this book is trusted. This is a book that's going to be centered on the Bible. And the issues that it deals with are going to be centered from what God's Word teaches us. And I want to ask that question again. What are you reading just now? And when was the last time you read a Christian book? And what puts you off reading a Christian book? Let me make one or two things, just suggest to you one or two things this evening. That how can we read? Can I say to you that you need to make time to read? We need to make time to read. It would be amazing tonight to talk to you and to see how much time that you spend reading Facebook messages or Twitter or whatnot. It would be amazing just to add that time up. And so we can find time. It's not that we don't have time. It's how we use our time. And Paul talked about redeeming the time or making the most of every opportunity. So we need to make time to read. And can I encourage you to do that? Whether that is going to bed 15 minutes earlier and taking time to read in the quietness. Taking time to read. And 15 minutes a day would mean that we could read up to 20 books a year. You know, it's just amazing if we can make time. Can I just say also that we should always carry a book with us? Now, I know many of you are in the electronic devices and you can carry e-books, but always carry a book with you. Always have a book. When I'm traveling, I always have a book with me and would always take time to read. So always carry a book with you. At school, in your school bag, have your book with you and maybe get a moment or two. Even if it's only snatch 5 or 10 minutes to read, read. Always carry a book with you. Can I also say that if your books, treasure your books, treasure them and write on them. I have been recently reading, and you'll expect me to say, I'm reading Good Book Company books at the minute. I read a number of books just recently. One was Enjoying God by Tim Chester, and it's all written over. I've underlined it. I've been reading a new book by Alistair Begg, Pray Big, which is not out yet. I got a pre-publication copy. I'm starting to read it the second time. I read it the first time and I underlined it. And I'm reading it again and I'm discovering things that I didn't see the first time. Treasure books, they become precious to you. Write on them, take notes and underline them. And share with others what you're reading. So if you're reading a book, share with others. Say, listen, I'm reading this book. And have an opportunity to share with your friends or whatever. Listen, I read this last night. Let me tell you how important it is or how it has impacted my life. If you've been helped and encouraged by a book, pass it on. If you've read something really good and you think that's an excellent book, pass it on. Say, listen, I'm finished with it. Or if you treasure it and you want to hold on, buy your friend a book and say, listen, I've read this. This has really helped me as a Christian. I think you would enjoy this. And pass it on, a copy for a friend. Books are a great tool for evangelism. So we could read a book and say to a friend, someone who's maybe not a Christian as yet, I found this really helpful and I thought you might enjoy reading it too. And they're a great, books are a really good tool for evangelism, for outreach. And you can read something or you can buy a book for a friend and pass it on. How to read books. Let me just say, there are a number of things about reading books. First of all, be careful what you read. And always read from a trusted publisher or author. And you would expect me to say that, but I am saying it because I mean it with all of my heart. Because not everything that is published in the Christian world is helpful and useful and beneficial. And so you need to be wise and we need to be discerning. So be careful what you read. Always read from a trusted publisher. And that's why I'm saying, and it's not that I want to be an ambassador simply for a good book company. There are other good publishing houses there. But what I can say tonight, if you buy from a good book company, it is a trusted publisher. So be careful what you read and be careful of the publishing house and who is the author. In reading your book and deciding what you're going to read, see who recommends the book and who endorses it. And so I know as a company, particularly in the American market, people will buy a book because it will be recommended and endorsed by some people. So if you can take a look at those who have endorsed the book, it gives you some indication whether that is something that is worthwhile. How do you read a book? Read it prayerfully. And so as you come to read, ask God to help you to read and understand it and to read it slowly. You don't have to read it all at one go. And sometimes it's useful to read a book slowly. Read a chapter, maybe over a couple of days, and mull that over. And you don't have to read it cover to cover all at one go. And sometimes Christian books are designed in such a way that you do read them slowly so you can understand what they're saying, so you can take time to think about what you're reading. How to read a book? Read it with a friend. So both of you buy the same book and you can read a couple of chapters during the week and then meet up for coffee or at home, at break time, lunchtime, or maybe on a Saturday afternoon and say, how have you been getting on this week? Decide that you're going to read chapters 1 and 2 this week together and then meet up and discuss it and say, what did you learn from it? How did you find it helpful? And so you read together, and that's a really useful thing to do. I would suggest to you to read different kinds of books, different kinds of Christian books, devotional books, books that will help you therefore understand the Bible, books that will deal with big issues, and they're great big moral issues that we're all facing, and as a generation, you're facing issues that I never would have faced and would never have been spoken about here in the studio. It would never have been spoken about in society, but it's just common knowledge today. How do we face those issues? The issue of gender, of transgender. How do we face those? And so read books that deal with those issues, but read books from trusted authors that deal with those issues. So again, in the Good Book Company stable, we have a whole series of books on transgender, Scott Anti-Gay, and a little book on gender for parents and for young people to have conversations about. Assisted suicide is another book that we have. Some of the big issues facing the day, we need to be reading so we're able to deal with these issues when people speak to us. Sometimes, I don't know how you find it, but sometimes the Christian people come at me and I don't know what to say. I'm not well armed. I don't understand the argument. And it almost feels that you're on the back foot. And so we need to be reading books that deal with some of the issues of the day from a biblical point of view so that we are better equipped to answer the questions that we're facing day by day. Read books that deal with apologetics, the reason of the hope that we have. And just recently we produced a book by John Lennox, who, by the way, is the uncle of Kirsten Getty, Keith Getty's uncle. Science Disprove God? Again, books, a little series of books that we have. You know, Can I Trust the Bible? Books that we can understand. So reading books that help us and equip us. Read biography. It's great to read the story of someone else's life, whether that's past or present, and just to hear and understand how God has been blessing them or helping them, maybe through their struggles, maybe through a difficult time, maybe the story of God's grace in bringing them to saving faith in Christ. Read biography. And sometimes those kinds of books are the kinds of books that when we read and God helps us to understand it, those are the kind of books then that we can pass on to non-Christian friend and say, listen, here's an amazing story of someone and how God worked in their life. And so you can pass it on. And there are a whole series of books, even books today that are dealing with some of the big moral issues of people who have come to faith and who have turned their life around and have turned their back on that lifestyle. The Diary of an Unlikely Convert, it's not one of ours. It's not published by Good Book Company, but stocked on our website. It's a story of Rosanna Butterfield, who at a time was very much involved in the gay rights movement in America, how she had bombarded a pastor with telephone calls and a reader program at night, turned up at his church with her 4x4 bedecked in all the paraphernalia, thinking that she'd be turned away, but the church embraced her and welcomed her, made her feel welcome, and how she come to faith and where she now is in her life. And so there are, you know, it's a really amazing story of what God can do in people's life. And there's a new book that I haven't read as yet, and again, it's not one of ours, Gay Girl, Good God. And again, the story of someone who's come to faith. Books like that, we read, we can understand God's grace. And when someone comes to us, we can say, listen, I've read a really marvelous book. Would you like to read it? And we can pass it on. And by doing that, then we can be evangelists in a very quiet and wonderful way. Read different kinds of books so that our hearts and our minds are being sharpened and our hearts and minds are being encouraged. Because reading will sharpen your mind. Reading will help you to grow. And reading will deepen your faith. So it is really, really important that we read and that we read well and that we read wisely and that we read regularly and that we make time for reading. And this evening I asked you at the beginning how many you read and you put your hand up. You didn't read, but you do read. We have got to decide what we're going to read because the world out there is going to shape our minds the way it wants us to think, and we need to be ready to counteract that. And again, just, you know, I'm going to, you know, this is what the Good Book Company, this is what we are. We're passionate about the Lord Jesus, his word and the gospel. That is one of the things that we're passionate about. And it is exciting just to hear how someone's life has been impacted. We produce books, we produce daily Bible readings, we produce a whole range of small group Bible reading study guides for churches. We have Christianity Explored. We produce a whole series of resources that help people in churches and in individuals. And that's the aim of the Good Book Company. Passionate about the Lord Jesus, Word, the Church, the Gospel of Grace. Motivated by this passion and our involvement in local churches, it is our privilege to create and select trustworthy, relevant and accessible resources that will encourage you and your church family to keep growing and keep sharing your faith. And that's who we are. And that's what we are about. Paul says, bring the books. And especially the parchment. Because books can change our lives. And books can really help us as we live our lives this evening. And that's who we are. Our resources are trustworthy, relevant, and accessible. And more I'm discovering that churches are coming and asking for books. And they're coming to us and saying, listen, the beauty about Good Book Company is that when we buy, we know what we're getting. We don't need to read it first to see if we can pass it on. And that's what we do. And that's basically the Good Book Company this evening. Now, the good news is, I hope for you, is that I have a book for you tonight. Free. Because I was coming out and Gillian said to me, where are you going? I said, Dad, I'm going to Lestuder. And I'm going to talk about Good Book Company. And when I normally go to book places like this, I sell books. And Gillian says to me, Daddy, there's no point in going to sell books at Lestuder. All those young people have no money and they're not buying books. And I says, well, I'm not going to sell books. I'm going to take and give them all a book this evening. She says, well, that's a good idea. So I have a book for you this evening. And it is called Fearless. Now, I started to read this before I came out. And Standing Firm When the Going Gets Tough by Johnny Alcock. It's about Daniel. And about how Daniel stood in the midst of the culture that he was living in. So I have one of these for each of you tonight. And if there's someone, a friend of yours is not here, if you want to take one, please do. There are a number of them. There's definitely enough for everybody here this evening. And what I would like you to do is, from tonight, you just say, you know what? I'm going to make time this week to read this. And even if it's only a chapter and a couple of chapters between now and next Saturday. Challenge is, between now and next Saturday, read a couple of chapters, and when you meet next Saturday and you're playing golf and you're having McDonald's, ask somebody, how are you getting on with that book? How have you found it? Have you found it helpful? Hopefully the answer to that is yes. But it really has encouraged me. So that's your challenge this week. You get a free book. Take it home with you and resolve that you're going to take time to read this during this incoming week. But as a company, give yourself to reading. But please don't neglect your Bibles. Don't neglect your Bible. Read the scriptures first and then read good books after that. So how to read and make time to read.